Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Thanks for joining me today. I've got a couple of important CV-related and other links for your consideration in the transcript. There's about five of them, so look through those. And again, they're related to coronavirus 19 and a few other non-COVID-19 related links for you to consider. You may have already heard about these, but go ahead and look at those anyway and see what you think. But moving on, I've had more and more Christians tell me recently that they feel weird, strange, you know? They go between feeling anger, sorrow, grief over what they see is happening in the world to feeling excitement about the prospect of the upcoming rapture, or what we might call Flight 777. Now, my wife and I, we experience the same thing, and honestly, it is weird. Society today is inundated with pronounced, growing, abject evil that is being normalized, and we don't understand why people cannot see it. We just don't get it. We need to remind ourselves, though, of Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 about the fact that God is sending the world a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. We need to keep that in the forefront of our minds. The lie here most likely refers to all lies that usher in the final global kingdom to be ruled over by the Antichrist. Now, the strong delusion is going to be a major impetus in bringing forth the New World Order and Antichrist. We cannot force people, though, to see the truth, can we? But of course, we need to tell them anyway. Jesus couldn't force people to see the truth, but he told them. Paul couldn't. The other apostles couldn't. They couldn't tell people, look, you know what? You got to see this truth. They could tell them the truth, but then the rest was up to them and how God worked in their lives. I was talking with my brother-in-law, who thinks of himself as a conservative. He watches both CNN and Fox News, thinking that he's getting the truth between those two bureaus. The more I've listened to him pontificate over the years, the more I realize he's just left of center, but he doesn't realize that. He would deny that. He's a Christian. He and his wife both got the two-shot Pfizer jab because he says, well, he's old. He just turned 69. And he also believes, they both believe, that Big Pharma truly wants to help people, not harm. When I told him about, for instance, the Fauci emails, his response was, oh, I don't believe that garbage. Cognitive dissonance is very much alive in way too many people today, even Christians. They believe the government is here to help. They actually believe that. I plan on asking him what he thinks about the end times and the final global kingdom of Daniel 2. The only Christians I know of who are truly what I would consider woke are those who see the signs of the times and understand the result. Other Christians who are not truly familiar with the end times events, never study it, never read about it, their pastors never preach on it, seem to think that if they work hard enough against the globalists' coming New World Order, oh, they're going to be victorious and the New World Order will be defeated. You know, the Great Awakening. I'm not saying, by the way, that Christians should go along with everything leading to the coming New World Order. I'm not saying that. We shouldn't just go blindly along with everything the New World Order's handing out. I am simply saying that trying to defeat what God said is coming is foolish thinking. Christians who understand the times are the ones experiencing the weird feelings or the pulling of our emotions from one side to the other. Now, of course, we shouldn't be guided by our emotions, should we? But they can be barometers. It must have been exactly what Jesus also lived with as he walked this earth. Sometimes those emotions can give us good direction, but we shouldn't rely on that. This weirdness of our emotions should also translate to a growing willingness to preach the gospel to everyone. That's our job, isn't it? Matthew 28. And by the way, I have a link in the transcript to a great lesson on how to present the gospel from the folks at Now the End Begins while not relying on the sinner's prayer, which is simply easy believism. Too many Christians, though, are instead fighting against the growing New World Order. And what does that do? It sees other people as enemies. Why are we doing this? Why are Christians so involved in this? Well, it's because we're living, really, in the Laodicean age. On February 13th, 2016, I wrote an article about Paul's letter to the Colossians. And specifically, I noted his comments that were related to a then and upcoming church in Laodicea. Though he wrote to the Colossian believers, he also wanted them to send his letter onto the believers at Laodicea so it could be read there. Now, what's interesting is that between the time Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians and the time John wrote the book of Revelation, it was a period that passed of about roughly 30 years. Yet when we get to John's description of Laodicea, as he recorded the very words of Jesus, we see a completely different church at Laodicea from the one that began 30 years prior. Here's what Jesus says in Revelation 3:15 through 16. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were hot or cold. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Wow. Jesus says that the Laodicean church had become lukewarm. Since it was neither hot nor cold, Jesus said he was getting ready to vomit or spit it out of his mouth. What a condemnation. This lukewarm state of the Laodicean church means that those people had seriously begun to compromise the truth, leaving their commitment to Jesus and embracing things outside of Christianity while trying to maintain their worship of God. It's called syncretism. It doesn't work. You choose one or the other. And if you stop to consider it, the church today is mirroring the attitude of ancient Israel via compromise from a cold heart. Now, this problem is occurring at a fast pace today, and much of Christendom appears to be going the way of Laodicea. It's tragic, but it was foretold, wasn't it? Here's a chart in my article and in the transcript that I created for a book I previously published, and I also used the same chart in another series I wrote here at studygrownoblog.com back in 2014. The chart highlights several things. It highlights the birth pangs that Jesus spoke of in his Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24. And if we look at that carefully, we're going to notice that three have already occurred out of the nine. The rest are still ahead of us. Now, personally, I believe the Allied invasion of Israel, or what some call the Northern invasion, will occur prior to the tribulation, as I've noted on the chart. And while others believe that that event is the same event as Armageddon, which occurs at the end of the tribulation, it's really hard to know for certain, so I like to keep an open mind, but that's my particular belief on the issue. You may disagree and believe that, no, it's Armageddon, it coincides perfectly. That's fine. We just need to know it's there. Also note that if you look at my chart carefully, on the chart itself, above the birth pangs, there is written a label, Mega Church. And now this indicates the Laodicean age of church history today, where apostasy is growing like wildfire, overtaking much of Christendom. Now, as noted, I'm seeing and hearing about more authentic Christians who are removing themselves from their own local churches that are sliding quickly toward apostasy. I was reading some posts over at J.D. Farag's website, and I've got a link in the transcript, and it's interesting to learn how many Christians seem unable to find a church they can count on for quality expositional Bible teaching and a non-compromising attitude with the world. Too many churches today are caught up in the social justice warrior mentality that plagues society, only to continue to radically divide. And that's the plan. They want to divide society by race, by culture, by whatever. They want to divide. That's what Marxism does. That's how it overthrows every single society throughout history. Now, there's a particular long post by someone at Farag's forum, and again, I have the link to that, who goes into some depth about the difficulties they're having at their own Southern Baptist Convention Church, or SBC. Take the time also to read the many replies to that first post. Christians are finding it more and more difficult to find good Bible-teaching churches where Christ is upheld and the world has not made inroads into that church. Part of the problem, though, is that with the IRS and their 501c3k, etc., blah, 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 churches, while tax-exempt, really must toe the line in many ways. They're not supposed to delve into political renderings. They're not supposed to talk politics. They're not supposed to complain about things that are becoming normalized in the world because that's political. So I'm wondering if many church leaders are failing to discuss these things because of their 501 status. Now, I've been critical of the Southern Baptist Convention before, and anyone who's read my blog for any length of time knows that. And there's good reason to be, by the way. Their growing endorsement of racial reconciliation, BLM, CB19 vax, women preaching to mixed crowds, and more has resulted in the SBC compromising with the world and becoming very much like the original church at Laodicea. And you can read more about the SBC and some of the problems associated with it with another link that I have in the transcript as well. Now, what I find particularly loathsome is the possibility that the government has secretly begun instructing Christian leaders to get on board the CV19 vax train. They said as much in so many different words not that long ago. And because of this, leaders within the SBC are talking up the jab, just like Franklin Graham and other well-known quote-unquote celebrity Christian leaders, even bragging online through their social accounts about taking the jab and gently denigrating those who refuse. Don't fall for it. It is interesting to note that the same agenda, by the way, was used during the days of Margaret Sanger and her Planned Parenthood. She specifically used black ministers to deliver the message to the black community about how necessary abortions were for the black community so that black women did not need to feel they didn't have options. And I have a link for that. It's actually a pro-life national black group who provides that information. And it's also been confirmed that Sanger was a eugenicist and virulently racist. Interestingly enough, much of her funding came from the Rockefeller family. I find that interesting. The church today has become filled with hirelings who are more interested in their own fame and fortune rather than presenting the truth of Scripture. These are false shepherds, the wolves in sheep's clothing who live to lead people away from the truth. What we will inevitably continue to see is an even greater push toward ecumenism and world unity as the final world order of Daniel 2 takes shape. Now, you know, it's funny because I knew this was coming, as I'm sure many of you did, but didn't foresee that an illness would be used to create it, and then followed by a vaccine that everyone's supposed to get. You see, that proves I'm not a prophet. The tribulation is coming. This will be the final opportunity for Satan to fulfill his 5 I will promises and to rise using his false trinity. Satan as the Father, Antichrist, the Son, false prophet, the Holy Spirit, and the armies of this world in an extremely pitiful attempt to keep Jesus from returning to this world. I mean, consider the hubris that must be Satan's to actually believe that he has a chance to overthrow God. How many times does he need to be defeated to understand that? He continually is defeated. God's purposes always come to the fore, and yet Satan soldiers on. The coming tribulation will be absolutely horrible for anyone living through it. The Bible is very, very clear. The saddest part of all of it is not how much the world has contributed to bringing the tribulation about, but in fact, the most disappointing and ignoble aspect of the coming tribulation is what Christendom itself has contributed to bringing it to the fore. I firmly believe, as many do, that a winnowing is occurring now. There is a separation going. God is separating authentic Christians from the rest, uncommitted from the committed, And I fully believe that as his authentic children seek his face, grow in the fear of the Lord that is within them, and walk in a way that pleases him, they will receive strength, discernment, wisdom, and their needs will be met. They will have an attitude that absolutely delights in fearing him enough to serve him without question. I think authentic Christians will continue to grow in their love and their fear of the Lord as the days pass. But it's going to take an effort, obviously. While we see and are dismayed by what's happening in the world, those things will cause us ultimately to lift our heads and rejoice in all that God has done, is doing, and will do for his servants and saints. I believe we will get to a point where we do not fear the world or anyone in it. We will be lifted above the problems of this world to the new heights of knowledge and understanding where God and his word are concerned. You know, I wish I could know just how bad things will get prior to the rapture, but I don't. The Bible itself is not explicit either. So do not fall for people when they say, hey, the rapture is going to happen here, this date, then this. Ignore them. Run away from them. God will provide strength, wisdom, and discernment for us if we willingly submit to him and learn to fear, love, and trust him above all things. You want some encouragement? Read through the Psalms. Now, this may not be easily gained by us. It may not come easily, but we will benefit greatly from, as Paul says, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Thank you for joining me today. And I pray that until we meet again, God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.